Lord. Today we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. Today we're going to use our message as a teaching moment. Amen.
All right.
Amen. The Bible said, wisdom is the principal thing in wisdom. Men and all are getting it. And amen. Today we want to get an understanding. Amen. We like to preach the word of God, but some people have to might be too challenging to try and teach it and preach it at the same time. But if the Lord says different, then we can go both ways. Amen. We're going to read verses 1, and we'll conclude by reading verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Do you all have it? If you say amen. And for those who do not have it, we know it's where? On the screen. Amen. Verse 1 reads, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. But though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth in me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest. Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you this afternoon for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we thank you for every ear. Lord, for every heart, for every person that's in the sanctuary. Now, Lord God, we ask you to send your word. Father God, for you say you sent your word to heal. Lord, we ask you this afternoon to send your word to heal the brokenhearted. Lord, to heal the troubled mind. Lord, to heal those that are in need of anything. Send your word, Lord, send your anointing. Lord God, for we acknowledge that without you we can do nothing. But Lord, we thank you this afternoon that they that know their God shall be strong. And Lord, we ask you to send strength, send help, and send deliverance. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's kind of going to be hard to really preach this message because of the depth of it. Amen. So we're going to try to teach it. Amen. But in order for us to do it, let's go back to the 12th chapter, and let's go back to verse 7. But in order to really get the essence of the message, we're going to have to also go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Amen. But right now, we just start off in verse 7. It says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. Amen. How many of God will give you that kind of revelation? Amen. And you and his brethren, he was such a marvelous revelation. Paul said, I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body.
Come on.
The only thing I do know is I heard things that were I couldn't even express in regular terminology. And he said it wasn't just the first heaven, it wasn't the second heaven, but I was called up to the third heaven. Amen. How many know that you got up to the third heaven, you ought to be feeling pretty good. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Come on. I said, if you get up to the third heaven,
hallelujah,
you ought to be feeling pretty good. Amen. But he said, there was given to me a thorn in the thorn. Anybody ever get a splinter? You know, you get one of those splinters. Anybody get a splinter? Don't they kind of like, it kind of like bother you, trouble you? Amen. Like, can you just get me? I got a real small slipper one time. I said, oh my goodness. Amen. That thing just wouldn't go away. Yeah, come on. You know, some of y'all might be a little short. Amen. But when you get the right kind of splinter, I tell you, you want some relief. Amen. So this thorn in the flesh was like a sliver, but this is more like a big wedge that was driven in the flesh. That's what this thorn is. This wasn't a little splinter. This is like someone took something and just drove a big piece of wood into your flesh. Amen. He said, it's given to me a thorn in the flesh. He said, but there was something different about this trial. Amen. I was up on the mountain high, but then something happened. It was a what? Messenger of Satan. He said, I was all right with God. I came out of church, I just got my shadow, I just got my praise on. Amen, I just finished glorying in the Lord. But all of a sudden, Paul realized that this trial was not a normal trial. He said, it was a messenger of Satan, and he was sent to buffet me. Now buffet, you know everybody, buffet means somebody like kind of bruise you up a little bit. This word buffeted only was used one other time, and that was when they were crucifying Jesus. The only way that Paul can get the true meaning of the thorn in his flesh, he used the same word that they used when they were crucifying Jesus and beating him and doing all that to him. It means to take your fist and repeatedly strike a person with force. This was an unusual trial that Paul was going through. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure. The next verse said, he said, and what did he do? For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might, Lord, I need help with this one. Our message this afternoon is, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Yes, Lord, thank you.
Yeah.
I said, what do you do when you don't know what to do? And to really get the true meaning of it, now let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Paul had gone through many things.
Oh, yeah.
But this was the big one. This was that trial that the devil said, I'm bringing everything in the house against you. Hallelujah. I'm coming from him. I'm not going to give you any relief. Can we thank the big one?
Big one.
All right, come on, that's happy.
Big one.
We're going to talk to each other. Amen. The big one.
The big one.
And a lot of times you hear the big one. You ever hear those? They said, wow, when you have the big one, they call him the widow maker. That's when you have that heart attack. That 90% of the people don't make it. Well, this trial is the big one. In the middle of your big one, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Paul said this thing was so bad. I didn't have to ask God one time. Oh, thank you. I think I'm the Apostle Paul. I just saw the greatest revelation from God.
Come on.
I was so high, I don't even know where I was at and how I was there. He said, the only one that knows where I was at, what was happening to me, was God. He said, who? I didn't know, but who knew?
God.
Lord have mercy. But now all of a sudden, something is taking place in my life. And all that I can describe it is like somebody took a piece of a 2x4 together and is driving it in my flesh. And then they're taking their fist on top of that and beating me down. They're buffing at me. Paul said, what do you do? When you don't
know what to do.
I prayed one time, hallelujah, and I didn't get no help. So I went back and I prayed again, and it didn't seem like I was getting no relief. He said, for this thing, I went to the Lord. Anybody been praying over and over about the same thing? It don't seem like it's changing. Lord, I said, what do you do? When you don't know what to do. Come on, let's meet Jesus. We can all identify with this. This is the big one. Lord, I'm brother, every trial has come my way. But this is one, Lord, I don't know what to do. Well, Paul had went through a whole lot, but never had he experienced anything like this. Verse 23 reads, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am. Now, he said, I'm going to give you my resume. Now, remember, the Bible is broken up into chapters. But when he wrote this letter, it was all one continuous letter. So there was no pause or break between chapter 11 and chapter 12, but he's trying to get a message across. Anybody feel like, Lord, I'm in one of those whizzing corners? The psalmist said, Lord, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the, Lord, lead me. Lord, I don't know what to do. So I'm surrendering all and I'm asking you to lead me to the rock that's higher than I am. What do I do, Lord, when I don't? Hallelujah. Know what to do. Paul says, in labors more often. But I go to God and cry on this one. In stripes, all those beatings, and they pointed out that even stone and left with the head. He said, I didn't have to go to God for that.
Come on.
Because that wasn't God.
Come on,
that's a big one. But he's going to give you a resume of what he went through that led up to the big one. Lord, what do I do? When I'm hit with this one, in stripes above measure, he said, in prison more often. In, he said, I was in so many situations where I almost died. But I didn't have to go to God because it was not God. Lord, thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Paul said, at the time of my life, when everybody forsook me, but I didn't worry about a thing because the Lord stood by me. Lord, when I got into the big one and everybody else forsook me, the Lord stood by me.
Hallelujah.
The psalmist said, my situation was so bad that my mother and my father forsook me. Hallelujah. But thank God it was at that time that the Lord, hallelujah, that the Lord, I said, what do you do? What do you do when you don't
know what to do?
Know what to do. Amen. Either the Jews find time, receive God. Was he going through something?
Come on.
But it was not the big one. Thrice was I beat with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys, in perils of waters, in perils of rocks. These perils mean everywhere I looked, there was nothing but danger. I said he was going through something. But look at somebody and tell them it was not the. I said, look at somebody and tell them. My brothers and my sisters, I'm going to help you. what to or what can I run to? Who can I look to? Where am I going to get some help from? Where did the big one? I know where my help cometh from. He said, I was in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of a heathen. Paul said, everywhere you look, I have nothing but trouble.
Not the same one.
The big one. In perils in the cities, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils of our fault. You know what? He covered almost everything in life. Amen? He covered everything in life. I was in the sea, I was in the prison, I was broken, I was strength, everything.
Amen.
Nothing but danger.
Not the big one.
But the still one?
The big one.
The big one. In weariness and in painfulness. In watching, Paul said, I had to keep looking over my back. The ones I thought I could trust, even they let me down. Amen? Yeah, we're talking real stuff now. We're not talking about that golden salvation that you see in Hollywood. We're talking about as many as have lived, as many as gonna live God in Christ Jesus are gonna suffer some things. We're talking about being saved and many of the afflictions. Can I get some help? I said many of the afflictions of the righteous. By the Lord. How many know the Lord?
Hallelujah.
How many know the doctor couldn't do it? How many know the lawyer couldn't do it? How many know the judge couldn't do it? How many know this kind of husband couldn't do it? He said, this time I had to fast, not by choice, but out of necessity. In cold and nakedness. Besides those things that were happening on the outside, besides all of my personal issues that I was going through, that which comes upon me every day. Lord, thank you. The care of all the churches. How many know that Paul, hallelujah, evangelized the Gentiles? How many know that Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament? Paul said, even that, hallelujah, then compared to the
big one.
Come on, y'all. I already said it a couple of times. Big one. It's only two words.
Big one.
Amen. Big one. All right. You better learn the big one. Because if you haven't got one, I guarantee you, it's on the way. And if you were thinking one and you're coming out of one, I can assure you one thing about the devil. He never changes. He don't change his mind. He don't care about you. Amen. And if you just came out of one, he's not convinced that you trust God. Can we say another one?
Another one.
You only got two ones, a big one and another one. All right? Amen. He said, who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who is offended? You know what Paul was saying? I'm a man just like everybody else.
Come on, Alex.
I'm not Jesus. That part of Jesus was tempted with all the same passions as we are. Yet without sin, but Jesus was special. Paul said, I ain't special. I got the same problems that you got.
Come on now.
Amen. I got the same troubles that you have. I have the same weaknesses that you have because I'm nothing more than a man. said, if I must needs glory, I would glory in the things which concern my infirmities. Me, I haven't got there. Lord, I'm trying to overcome it. But these are my challenges. Infirmities are your, can we say challenges?
Challenges.
Amen. This one, we're doing so much better. Amen. We're doing so much better. And your infirmities are your challenges. Those are the things that I'm going through, and I don't have the desired results. That's what it means. Their weaknesses, their challenges, but they're not turning out like I want them to turn out. I don't have the desired results. See, I told you I'm going to teach. Amen. It says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore. He said, God knows what I'm going through.
Yes, he does.
He said, everything I'm telling you, I lie, lie. You might not know or understand it, but God knows. Next verse. He said in Damascus, the governor, other orators, the king kept the city of Damascus with a garrison desirous to
apprehend him.
What was Paul on his way to when the Lord stopped him?
Yes.
It's amazing how when you deal with God, things come full circle.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All those persecutions, all that stuff. Now he was on his way to Damascus to bound anybody that called on the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But all of a sudden now, some years later, what do I do? Amen. When I don't know
what to do.
He said it was so bad. You know, how many know that most of the walls and houses and places in Jerusalem and in that area were up on a high wall? Amen. So you couldn't jump down. Amen. And if they had everything else sealed, they couldn't go out through the front door and the gate. But God.
Yeah. Right.
God knows how to deliver the godly.
Yes, he does.
I don't know where my help is coming from. But I can tell you one thing. I do know what to do when I don't know what to do.
Come on.
He said that when doing a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hand. Now we jump over to chapter 12. It's a continuation. He's telling him, I went through all of that. But that was not the
big one.
That wasn't the big one. When I get into chapter 12, even though I'm talking about my revelations and visions and all that God took me through. Now, through all of those, there was, I don't know, 20 or 30 events that happened in his life. Do you find where Paul said, I had to consult the Lord that he might deliver me? But now, Satan is buffeting him. How many are going through something today and you don't understand where it's coming from? Lord, by now, I said by now, I thought you know that I'm on the Lord's side. Lord, by now, I thought you would send me some grace because grace is supposed to be help.
When you need it.
When you need it. So Paul said, Lord, I besought the Lord three times. This was this kind of trial. Understand the test was different from any other test I've gone through. He named all that at the end of chapter 11 to the point where he had to escape from the king of Damascus in Damascus. He said, but this one trial was different. This one trial, I can't explain it in words. He said it was so severe, it was so bad, that I besought the Lord three times. Don't just help me in it. He said, Lord, take it away. This was an unusual circumstance. This was an unusual trial. He said, I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. This is one of those, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Paul knew God. Paul had an intimacy with God. Paul was close to God. How many know that Paul was so special to God? Because all of the other apostles and brethren feared him when God called and changed Saul from Saul to Paul. He took him out in the desert for 3 years and personally taught Paul. Paul was special. Paul was not like the other apostles, but he still had his big one.
Yeah.
He still had the one where he said, I cried all night long. Paul said, I prayed all night long. My situation was so severe. There were times when I couldn't cry, I couldn't pray, so I mourned, and I mourned, and I mourned. But my soul couldn't rest contented until I. This was one of those times in Paul's life. He said, I can't be content. I gotta get a hold of Jesus. Saints of God, the big one is coming.
Yeah.
If you're not saved, get saved, because the big one is coming.
Yeah.
And then when that big one comes, what do you
do?
When you
know
what to do. Paul lifted his eyes to the hills from whence cometh his help.
Yeah.
Last thing we're going to go, I'm not going to keep you much longer. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. When a situation is too big for anybody else, that's when it's time to go to. So what do I do when I don't know what to do? I go to God.
Yeah.
Because nobody else can fix it. No one else can change my situation but God. This is Asa, king of Judah. And Asa did that which was good and right before the Lord. Everybody said, as long as I'm living right, I don't have nothing to worry about, amen?
Nah.
Many are the affliction of the righteous. Verse 1 reads, well, go to verse 2, yeah, verse 1 is not as important. Verse 2 will say, Asa did that which was what? Good and
right.
A lot of times people, we do stuff that's good, but we don't always do what is.
Right.
Sometimes we do what is right, but we don't do that which is. God said, did that which was good and
right.
Said, well, I did it, but I was angry. So I did what was good, but I didn't do it right. Amen?
Amen.
I came to church, but I came with a chip on my shoulder. This is not for y'all. We're sending this out. Amen? So y'all can join in with me, okay? I came with a chip on my shoulder.
Come on, Elder.
Because I didn't like what somebody said or did. How many know that you won't get perfect until you get to heaven? So that's why a lot of us got issues. Thank God that he's so merciful.
Yes.
So since we got issues, he said, well, since y'all can't get yourself, I want to present you faultless.
Yes.
What a mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah.
I said, what a mighty God we serve. But he did that which was good and right. How much did this have to do? How are we doing with this? Good and right. Not in the eyes of man. I'm talking about when nobody sees you but God. What is your life like when you're not around the saints of somebody that knows you're supposed to be saved and on my way to heaven?
Come on, Elder.
Do you do what is good and right? I would never, but I ain't gonna never. I think y'all can feel it. Feel that for yourselves, right? I ain't gonna never on this one, all right? He said, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down everything that was anti-God that his great-great-grandfather Solomon had brought in. Asa said, I gotta get rid of that stuff because that's not God. I don't care what my great-grandparents, my grandparents have done. I got to do what's right in the eyes of God. So he said, all of that stuff, he said, I got to get rid of it because it does not meet God's approval. He said, he commanded Judah to what?
Seek the Lord.
How many want to seek God?
Hallelujah.
Well, to seek God, you have to do what is good and
right
in the eyes of the Lord. And to do the law and commandments. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah, the high places and the images, and the kingdom was. God honored his stand. But how many say, Asa's going to have one of those big ones. In a little while, Asa's going to have one of those, what do you do?
You don't know
when you don't know what to do. What do you do, hallelujah, when a trial is so big? What do you do when I haven't had no peace of mind? What do you do when I don't have the joy of the Lord as my strength? I said, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Skip to the next verse. The Lord gave him rest because he did that which is right. And he built cities and he prospered, verse 8. And Asa had an army of men. God is blessing him. He's building, he's prospering, he has rest. How many of us, all this in Irish, who said they got peace? Who had a testimony about peace? Well, oh, Sister Trey, everybody want peace, right? Because as long as you got peace, you got rest.
Amen.
Amen. How many of Asa had nothing but peace and rest?
Hallelujah.
But the devil was not finished. Amen. We're living godly, but the devil. Yeah. How many know that if he went after the first man and woman, he's coming after you?
Right.
Look at somebody. wait, because your person sitting next to you might be getting tired. So if y'all looking at each other, we wake each other up, amen.
Come on, brother.
Look at somebody and tell him he's coming. After you.
After you.
Tell him again, he's coming. After you.
After you.
Hey, man, I've got a few more minutes. Let me just keep you awake till I finish. Actually, you take too long. Well, I need to know for you to know what to do when you don't know what to do. Amen. Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah. He had 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 284,000. He had 580 men. But the scripture said all these were what? Mighty men, and they were brave, they were courageous, they were bold. Amen. So he has how many? It's important to remember the number 580. Because he's going to get a big one. Amen. The next verse says, and there came out against him Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of a 1,000 is how many?
1,000,000.
But then he has something. Now, Asa only had how many?
580.
Good, y'all remember. He had 580. So he's outnumbered right now by 420,000. But to make the big one even worse, he has 300 chariots. So this is a mighty force coming against Asa. Asa had rest. Asa had peace. But yet the big one still came. Asa prospered. Asa built. Asa expanded his ministry. But still, the big one came. And Asa went out against him, and they set the bell in the array in the valley of Zephathah at Merisha. Asa said, you know what? This is a big one. This is a big one. He said, but yet, nevertheless, let me do some things. Set the bell in the array means He sent his army out in different orders. Asa sent them over here. He said, wow, they're outnumbered. So then he set this front up. He said, oh my God, they're outnumbered. Then he set another front up. He set everything up. And then he said, even though we're outnumbered, and to make it worse, look at all those chariots. So Asa realized, this one is bigger than I am.
Right.
So Asa considered in his mind, with this big one, what do I
do?
I don't
know
what to do. What do I
do?
What did Paul do when he would have the thorn in the flesh? He besought. What did Asa do? The Bible said that Asa cried unto the Lord. I said, what do you do when you don't know what to do? It's time to cry unto the Lord. The reason that you don't have the deliverance, the help you don't, you need in the middle of your big one.
Crying to the Lord.
You haven't been crying unto the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, likewise the Spirit.
Yeah.
How many know it's not by might and it's not by power? The Lord said, what is by my Spirit, said the Lord. When you get to the point where you can't help yourself, where you can't get deliverance from anywhere, it's not by might. Lord, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, said the Lord. Likewise, the Spirit help in my infirmities. When I don't know what to do, when I don't know what to turn to, Lord, what do I do? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye all ye led. Serve the Lord with gladness. What do you do when you don't know what to do? You come to God, you praise Him, and then you get some joy, and you serve the Lord. And then you come before His presence with some singing. He said, hey, for know ye not that the Lord, He is? The Lord is God. Somebody say, who's the Lord? He's God. The Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are the sheep and the people of His pasture. So what do you do? It's time to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His court with praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know who to turn to. Mercy.